Well, welcome. We're here together to gather, to worship, to praise again the Lord, and to be encouraged in our walk with the Lord. We're going to take a moment to have a little bit of kind of perspective look on how the Lord has been working in our lives over the years. And I hope and pray that as I discuss this, that maybe it gives you a new set of lenses in order to kind of really kind of examine and push through the hard times. So I really hope it's a good thing for you. But let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless this time. Bless my words. May they be your words. And you do a deep work in our hearts and lives. We give you thanks. We give you praise in your name. Amen. Well, first things first. We got this idea again of this new growth that I keep sharing every week, week after week. I had Pastor George for a couple weeks, and then Steve really tried to, I think, challenge us in leaning forward and trusting the Lord, as canoeing through the mountains and learning again that through it all, that the Lord is faithful. And I heard that from Pastor George's messages. I've heard that again last week with Steve. And then this week, I want to just kind of help us to know that in the midst of the challenge, that God is working to grow us up, and he's working to help us again learn to flourish in him, to live out this life in him that we've been given, to learn how to love in great big ways and small ways, that what we do in the world really does matter. It helps us to be in relationship with each other and with him, and how God works it all together. I have a new image, though, for us, and that's this, the iceberg in our lives. What are the icebergs that we have in our lives that just about, they estimate, 10% sticks out and 90% under the water? That those icebergs can sink ships, like if you might be thinking the Titanic, as I was. That this iceberg are those areas in our lives that will sink us and will definitely prevent us from flourishing in the Lord. But if we have daily moments where we can be refilled, renewed, restored in the Lord, that the reservoir is being poured and overflowing, then at that, and it's because of that, that the Lord will help us sustain us during the walk, during the journey. That we need to understand that loving our neighbor and loving God is how we live, how we breathe, and yet sometimes we don't think about that because we haven't been filled up. We haven't been restored. We haven't been renewed. And so we're trying to love or live by our own strength. And life is too hard to do that. It's just going to have too many challenges, too many surprises, and we won't be able to handle it. So we're going to continually work on growing and ideally flourishing. And again, being refilled. But we have these iceberg moments that God needs to deal with. And so I'm going to have a chance or a moment for us to kind of consider how are we on the anvil of what God is doing, that we are God's people and we need to be about God's business. Short and sweet, we are God's people and we're to be about God's business. And how does he use this thing known as the anvil to really help us develop, help us grow, help us to be the people God's called us to be? That you and I are being tested time and time again. But as we're being tested on the anvil, as new experiences we encounter in life test us, is to help us to remind us again of who we are and whose we are. That again, what our function is, and again, about what our focus needs to be, the business, the mission of God, that God has called you and I to. And so on this anvil, I think we need to remember that he has called us all to be an extension of his nature, an ambassador to his throne room, a proclaimer of his message, that you and I are not about just us or what we like, but we're about God's work. And it begins again, understanding that God's placing us on this anvil is sometimes painful, sometimes hard. And yet God is allowing this or doing this so that we can be stronger for it. all the pieces that a blacksmith might use, that you know, again, takes this steel and heats it up and then pounds it and then heats it up and then shapes it and then heats it up, and it all for it to make it stronger, tempered to the point where it can handle and be used to do the job it needs to do. I think if I remember correctly, Steve Sill mentioned last week about the wrong tools and how that can really make a big difference when it comes to challenges in life. I'll never forget this one moment, and I wish I could forget this moment. I was in North Carolina, and I was working with this similar to Habitat for Humanity, and we were working on this one house. And this house was just a great, wonderful gentleman who lived there and said, "Hey, anything you need, go ahead." And I said, "Well, we're painting a lot of houses, but there's not actually a lot of spigots. They were old houses. They didn't have outside spigots." And I said, "Would you mind if we use yours?" He's like, "Sure, no trouble at all." I said, "You know, if your water bill's impacted, let us know." So we were there for several weeks. Well, over the time, it had gotten really worn out. And I'm going like, "Man, this thing is just getting really hard to shut off." And so, I mean, I got vice grips on there, and I am just, and it's the day before we're going to take the groups to, like, rock climb or something like that. We're going to just have some fun with them. And so we were cleaning up, and I just couldn't get it shut. And so what do I do? And my 19-year-old brilliant brain, I take the vice grips on that thing, and I just can't get it shut, so I just use my hammer. Doof, doof, doof. And I'm like going, "Yep, worked like a charm. Didn't leak, shut it off." I went, "We're good." Not having a clue that just below the surface, I had just created a leak. And it was to find this out the next day. And the whole basement was filled with water, and I get a call from the director going, "Did you happen to use a hammer on the pipe yesterday? Because the gentleman saw you swinging something, and next thing you know, he found a leak." And I was like, "Oh my gosh." That's what we're talking about, using the wrong tool, right, for the wrong job. And boy, did I do it. So I can relate to what Steve was saying there a little bit last week. But we have to understand that some tools are, you know, you use some tools for some jobs, right? And God is shaping us, tempering us even, so we can be ready for the job he has for us, because he knows where he's taking us. He knows what he's doing in the church and in the community. How are we to be ready for that? And so that's what I'm hoping for us to kind of really process a little bit together today. Next week, we'll jump back into our Immerse series, and we'll dig into Book of Romans. And so we're going to be checking that out. So let's jump into the text and see what the Lord has for us. This comes from Hebrews chapter 12. "Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up." And this is, again, the writer's asking us to consider this, you know, our Savior Jesus and all that he has gone through. What is it about that example that we can gain some strength, some confidence, some trust in God, that even though we don't know, even when it gets difficult, even when we've been wrongfully arrested, beaten, crucified, that God is still working? And so even though he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up. "And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children?" Okay, he's like, listen, don't get, understand that God has given us his promises throughout his word so that we may know him and know about the mission he's called us to be about. Our role is to say, "Yes, Lord." Now, what's the question? And time and time again, if we respond like that, it's amazing how God's grace and his sustaining grace continues to just pour into our hearts. But what I found is that when it comes to forgetting, most of us tend to really struggle with the whole remembering part. We're really good at forgetting. Outside of community, we forget. But with community, we tend to remember more. And we stay more faithful. And that's another reason why the church is so important, that we need each other to encourage each other, support each other, and so that when we do forget, another brother or sister can come alongside and say, "Don't forget, remember." And that's what this writer is telling this church, these people. He said, "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. It's like, listen, the Lord is doing something in you. He's wanting to shape your life. He's wanting to help you in this. He's going to help you in this. But when we're being disciplined, we don't give up. He's doing it because he loves us. A failure of heart is what we can tend to have when we don't return to the Lord, when we don't learn to depend on him, when we don't have that sustaining grace. We're not going back daily, moment by moment, being filled and seeking the Lord for guidance and strength and wisdom and favor and saying, Lord, how do I handle this? It's when we stop growing, when we stop being moldable and shapeable, when you and I just, we end up kind of quitting. It's not even just slowing down and stopping. I mean, those are important actual spiritual habits that you and I need. But man, we so need to again keep surrendering to the Lord and saying, Lord, help me to have the strength to continue to lead, to continue to serve, to continue to be the person that you've called me to be. Okay, so let's jump back into the text. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child. None of us likes to be disciplined, first of all, right? None of us likes to be disciplined. None of us likes even the word punishes, okay? Like, we're like, ooh, I don't want to think about God doing that. Like, no, God's a God of love, and he is a God of love. He's not disciplining or punishing because he's angry, and he's just mad, and he's got this little, you know, just kind of warped sense of reality. No, what's going on here is he cares, and he loves. And he wants you and I to grow into the person that he's called us to be. And so it's important that you and I know that when we're being disciplined by the Lord, it's because he loves us and he's good. And so the text continues, as you endure this divine discipline, again, because of who God is and what he's doing, remember that God is treating you as his own children. That just like a good father, and I hope you had a good one. I hope you had a great one. But if you didn't, you can learn how our Father is good. And he loves you and he wants to help you through all of life. And sometimes the helping is sometimes a discipline. Sometimes it's saying no. Sometimes he's like, no, I know you want this, but you need to trust me in the timing of getting that. Pastor George mentioned this whole idolatry thing in his last message and how important it is that we make it, that we don't make things the ultimate thing. Good things are meant to be good, not the ultimate. There's only one, and that's the Lord. And so it continues on. Whoever heard of a child who was never disciplined by his father? Now, again, I've worked with those children. I've worked with those students. And I'm sad to say it's not been a good experience in almost every situation, because it's through discipline that students and children learn of love and boundaries and how to treat one another, the golden rule, and so much more. They develop, again, a moral guide that, again, comes from Scripture, but it's so important that we understand that this discipline that God is doing in us, he's teaching us, just like we would teach a child. We have a preschool here at the church, right? And so we try to be not just fans of the family, but partners. We try to support them and encourage them. We pray for them. This year, we're expecting God to really, really do some special things in their lives and help us in that. But that being said, we know that they're really, you know, some like moldable and shapeable clay kind of thing, right? And so we're really trying to help them learn what it's like to be the spiritual leaders, the spiritual mothers and fathers of that child and what that means and stuff. But this is, again, it's a discipline. It's something they have to learn, just like there's some things that God has to do in us that we have to learn. The one big point I want you to just kind of take from this is God is trustworthy. And you can trust him no matter what, no matter how challenging, no matter how difficult, no matter how maybe you just don't know what the Lord is doing, and all you know is the pain and the struggle. All you know is this is not what you signed up for. This is when you have to just say, but I know he was faithful before. The sun rose up yesterday. It rose up today. It's going to rise again tomorrow. And I got to just trust that he is just as faithful as the way he's ordered the universe. He's even more faithful. The text that goes on, if God doesn't discipline you, as he does all of his children. It means that you are, really, when it comes down to it, not really his children at all. I mean, that's not a really good statement, is it? That's not very encouraging. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? It's crucial that we don't have that, we don't get stuck. That this idea of submitting is not popular in our culture, okay? There's several texts in the Bible that I love messing with my wife about, and she loves it too, I'm sure. There's this one beautiful text that says, you know, woman, submit to your husband, you know? And I love it. I love that, quoting that one to her. And then there's the other one she quotes, but I'm not going to give you those. But there's a great one in Proverbs that says, you know, shut your mouth and you'll stay out of trouble. And so she likes quoting that one a lot. Anyhow, but this idea of submitting is not an easy one, is it? When we don't get what we want, that's hard. But it's about us not quitting, right? And that failure of heart, right? But also, there's that failure of nerve, the courage to act, the courage to push through, the courage to just say, you know what, this is important, I have to do this, or this is important, I have to continue to tell others about. When we lead, when we serve and lead others, how are we doing it? Are we doing it in the way of Jesus? Are we doing it in a way that shows that we really do believe what we say we believe, and God, we believe God is who he says he is, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do, and so on? Or are we, ooh, people might be unhappy. People might not like that. You know, we have next week, August 1st, we're going to have a new service time. And that might not sound like a big deal for a lot of people, but it's a big deal. There's lots of changes. We're going to actually then be able to actually take our Sunday mornings and have more opportunities for growth, more opportunities to seek the Lord together, whether it be through prayer, whether it be through study groups, programs, times of fellowship we get together for breakfast or brunch. And we're excited about that. But we know it's going to mess up some people's schedule. We know some people are going to be like, can't wait, and then not want to take the other opportunities to grow. So we're working through that. We're going to push through that. But we got to make sure that we serve the church and serve others in a way that helps them be the people God's called them to be. The text goes on. For our earthly fathers disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. Most parents do the best they know how. There's no book they send home with you, you know, like when you get your child, right? When you get your child from you, you're like, they're like sending you out from the hospital and you're like, I'm not fine. Wait a minute. What? like, aren't you going to come with me? Cause we've been really needing your help recently. Can you send someone? Anyhow, they don't, they do the best they can. The text goes, though, but God's discipline is always good for us. It's not that he's just trying. He's just kind of winging it and, well, we're going to do the best we can, or we're taking the best, you know, research out there, which is great. No, he's always good for us so that we might share in his holiness, life in him. That's what he's saying. And so when we're on God's anvil, he's working. He's shaping. He's renewing. He's challenging us. He's trying to help us know that as he's shaping our lives, as he's hammering, as he's putting the heat on our lives, there's some things that we are called to surrender, saying, and there's so many things like those icebergs we can't deal with on our own. We need God to in his grace, to bring change and transformation. And transformation doesn't happen without reflection, without, obviously, God's grace, but reflection on what he's doing, a humility of spirit, learning to be attuned to what the Lord is doing. How can you and I become tempered leaders, tempered people that are stronger because of what God has taken us through, so that we can be shaped in the image of his son? What regrets do you have? Right? I'm not trying to open up old wounds. But what regrets do you have? What areas financially do you know that it's an iceberg? Or maybe relationally, you're not quick to forgive. In fact, you're not quick to listen. you're totally not open to learning. Then that would not be healthy, right? And these are just three potential icebergs that a lot of people struggle with. These are just three, just random options I came up with. What are the icebergs in your life that God needs to deal with? That it, when it comes down to it, he needs to take that area and put it on the anvil and start shaping it and start preparing it so it can be used for his glory and for his mission. How are you at dealing with losses? You know, Scripture teaches us to deal honestly, prayerfully with our losses and disappointments, big and small, and all their accompanying confusing emotions. Why? Because losses are indispensable if we're going to change and grow into the men and women God has called us to be. Let me repeat that last part. Losses are indispensable if we're going to become, if we're going to change and grow into the men and women God has called us to be. How are you responding? I challenge you to respond in trust. When the hard times come, respond in trust. Respond in hope. Choose your response now. Be careful of those self-destructive reactions. Be careful of getting stuck in what you think you deserve and what you think is right, and you try to put on the robe that God is wearing as the one true King and Judge. He's trying to help us be tempered and have a resilience so that we can stay the course, so that in the midst of the challenges and the heat and the hammering, we stay calm and we stay connected. I hope this encourages you. I hope it challenges you, because we need to have people that step up and step into the people that God has called them to be by, again, humbly walking with our Lord. The final word comes from the text just towards the end of this section, and that is, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. The author isn't disconnected from our reality. They're not looking at like pie in the sky. They're not just pretending. They're like, no, listen, discipline is awful. It's not fun. Let's call it what it is. It's painful. But there's a good but. There's a good but. In Scripture, the buts are either really good or really bad. This is a good but. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. In other words, we're learning. Yes, it's painful. Yes, he's doing the hammering. He's heating. It's not a fun time. But in that time, he's preparing us for, again, that peaceful harvest, that chance to live in the way that we're supposed to live, trained in the way. We were talking a little bit about this, I was talking with my Bible study on Fridays. We still meet on Zoom and stuff still. In August, we'll begin to have face-to-face as well. But here we are. We're talking about some things. And as we're talking, one of the gentlemen, David, says, you know, I don't like this anvil thing. I was telling him about things that I was preparing and things I was working on. He says, I don't like this anvil thing that you're talking about. I prefer more of the thing. And there's another text in Scripture that talks about the potter's wheel, like a clay that's thrown on the potter's wheel, but it's shaped, and it seems so much more, I don't know, inviting, pleasant even, he says. And I just started laughing because I'm like, no, I get it. It's good. I'd rather be shapeable and moldable, right? I'd rather kind of be a fun experience and kind of, you know, one of those things. But the anvil really does make sense of the pain that we experience a lot in life and how God won't waste a hurt. That time on God's anvil, again, clarifies our mission and defines our purpose as it strengthens us for the journey. So I hope that encouraged you. I know it's a challenging word, but I really think it's an important word for us in this day. Now we have some homework. We're going to be getting a new letter in our Immerse study for the whole church. We're going to begin reading the book of Romans, Romans chapter 1, chapters 1, 2, and 3. And so I hope that it encourages you. I hope that's something that helps you to remember again of God's goodness and his love for you no matter what, no matter what challenge you're facing. No matter what struggle you're facing, that you and I can lean into it. And there's some great theology that comes out of Romans, but know this, again, God's love for us is based in a person, in a relationship. And you and I can have that relationship by just talking with the Lord, by digging in his word, asking good questions and letting it ask better questions of us and to us. But now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Where you are going, God is sending you. Where you are, God has put you there. And he has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you where you are. Believe this. Go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. God bless. We'll hope to see you next week.